Welcome to International Finance Law. This is a contracts class, this is a transaction class, this is a deal class. We're looking at the largest finance markets in the world and how governments and the largest companies in the world borrow and lend money. We are specifically going to examine the international syndicated loan market, the parallel euro bond market and shorter duration euro note and 1 year euro commercial paper markets, as well as all other specialist markets. We will examine in further detail the structure and operation of international project finance and infrastructure finance, international securitization and structured finance, including collateralized debt obligations, or CDOs, which were a significant factor in the global financial crisis. We will also examine financial derivatives, including futures, options and swaps, as well as credit default swaps, CDSs, which were again a significant part of the global financial crisis. This is an exciting area. This is an important area. The key point is that these markets are so large that no single government or authority can manage the risks involved. We therefore deal with this through private contractual documentation prepared on standard terms by the key market operators and their trade associations and legal advisors. We will be looking at all of the core market documentation used in this class. By the time we are finished, you will be able to manage and prepare all the documentation necessary to support any of these large financial transactions. This is a professional course. This is a market course. This is an exciting and a core course. This is international finance law. You have on the system a study pack which outlines all of the key classes as well as the core learning points, revision points, and materials that you need for each part of the course. I outline the key objective of each class. There's pre-class objectives, post-class revision work. I provide core reading, additional optional reading, and then additional optional external reading as well. As many of the links as are available as provided as possible on the system as well, so that you can follow up on all of this. The course is essentially based on my draft book, so I specifically provide for each class a draft chapter which covers all of the core materials in that part of the course. So today we're looking at international finance markets, history of banking, international financial system, international financial centres, international financial markets, financial assets and instruments. The papers also cover global investment banking, international commercial banking, international trade associations, standard documentation and international finance markets oversight and control. We will cover all of this and you will get substantial material both at an introductory level and a more significant, substantial, detailed level as well. We will then go on to look at the nature of international markets, market development, parties and documentation, and I will give you slides and tables which summarise all of the key markets in the world. We will look at international loan finance and the nature of the international euro-dollar markets, which are based in London. These essentially consist of a loan-based syndicated lending market and a security-based bond market. There's also an underlying interbank market which supports these two markets, which allows the largest banks in the world through these markets to buy and lend money amongst themselves. So we'll look at the loan finance markets. We will then look at the standard documentation prepared by the key trade association in this area, which is the Loan Market Association. I will provide you with a copy of key standard documentation and my summary and outline of all of this, so that you will be able to understand all of the key documentation used in large international law firms in this area. We will then look at the international bond, note and commercial paper markets. Bonds are essentially fixed interest, long term, usually 20 years plus. Notes are floating rate interest, generally between 1 year and 20 years. Commercial paper, floating rate interest up to 1 year. Again, we'll look at all of this so we can understand all of the key markets concerned. We will then consider separately the issue of liability. The problem that arises in practice is that if large companies or governments borrow very substantial amounts of money, if anything then goes wrong subsequently and they cannot pay, what remedies or recourse do the investors or lenders who provide the funds, who can they proceed against to attempt to recover in the event that the borrowers or the issuers of the bonds cannot repay? We need to look at issues of liability. So we will look at the heads of liability. We'll then look at how we can limit liability through limited duty clauses, reservation or basis clauses. We'll look at the limitation of liability, the exclusions or limitations on limiting liability, and then the key financial remedies available in practice. We will then consider in further detail the international project finance market, the international securitization market, the international structured finance market, and we'll also look at financial derivatives. We will conclude by attempting to understand the extent to which these markets are subject to any formal regulation, simply because they are of a wholesale nature, with no government or agency being large enough to regulate these markets formally. These markets are so large that no agency or government can regulate them in practice. How do we control conduct and behaviour, protect rights and stability? We do it through the standard documentation I was referring to before, which is prepared by the key trade associations in this area. I have provided a separate introduction to international finance. This is also an audio file, so you can listen to this as well as read this as well. There's a separate set of materials on classwork, dictionaries and glossaries, financial newspapers, magazines, the Palgrave Encyclopedia, Dictionary of Money and Finance, and then there's a separate one on economics. These are all very useful indeed. The key point about finance law and international finance law is that it is a form of new language. You need to get on top of all of the key terms, learn this new language, and then become part of this community. It is amongst the most exciting work that you will do in international law firms and international law practice, but you need to do the basic core work to understand all of the key ideas, all of the key terminology involved. So it's expected that people do not have any prior knowledge or information of any form whatsoever. So we take you through everything at a core basic level and then build it all up in layers. There is a key introduction document I will show you in a couple of minutes, which provides a core background to all of this. But what you can then do is build up your detail simply through additional reference materials, including dictionaries and glossaries, electronic reference systems, as well as becoming familiar with all of the key websites in this area. Everyone has the core challenge at the beginning of the course of having to absorb this, but once you put in the basic initial work, you will get on top of this very quickly indeed. I will provide a series of introductory electronic dictionaries and glossaries, and I encourage you to build up your own and keep them available on your telephone or on your tablet or on your laptop so that you can use them in the law firm or private practice as well. Financial newspapers and magazines. The most useful, relevant paper in this area is obviously the Financial Times. I personally only buy the Financial Times. I only ever read the Financial Times. It's an excellent egalitarian, balanced, highly professional newspaper which provides the best coverage of almost any current issues that you may wish to refer to. You will be able to access these on the electronic systems that we provide through the university systems. The Economist magazine is also very useful indeed. There is specifically a section on finance, usually around 6 pages, maybe 6 to 8 pages. Around page 70 to 80, 80 to 90. It's weekly, it's very useful indeed. Again, I would strongly encourage you to follow this all of the key issues that you need to understand at the larger international as well as domestic levels. You will be able to get very detailed, comprehensive coverage in The Economist, as well as follow this up daily through the Financial Times. There are excellent news encyclopedia. The two most effective ones, useful ones, are the Palgrave Dictionary of Money and Finance, and then the economic ones, which supports that. If you come across a difficult term, you can refer to these as well. In terms of building up your expectations, ability and skills during the course, I will give you separate dissertation and exam technique notes, and we will have separate course review sessions at the end to go back over everything and to prepare you for the final examinations. You will have all of the possible support that you need in every way. This is the list on the right of online reference systems. This is very useful. If you keep these on your telephone or your tablet, as I've mentioned, you then just have to click them and you can follow up on all sorts of key terms. If you come across a point of new language that you're not sure about, for example, yield curves or capital adequacy or VAR, just use these online reference tools. You will find some other even more up-to-date reference tools, and I strongly encourage you just to spend a little bit of time finding the reference systems, online facilities that you find most useful for your own work. I've also provided a list of some of the main, most important and relevant websites in this area. I would strongly encourage you, for professional as well as academic purposes, to become familiar with these. This is where all of the core information that you need will be loaded and provided. These are very useful in terms of professional and wider academic preparation. You should become familiar with all of these as a basic core professional exercise. You will find that some of the key international trade associations, such as, for example, the Loan Market Association, LMA, website requires codes for accessing some parts of the websites. Please do not worry. When you go into private practice and you're working for a law firm or a government agency or any other financial institution, you will be provided with all of this. You will then be able to follow up on all of the key documentation which is made available on a professional basis through all of these websites. We also encourage you, if you're interested, to have online study groups, OSGs. You can work in small groups, one or two, or in larger groups. I've simply provided a structured revision program for international finance law. The simplest way to do this is simply to work through key terms, key ideas, key concepts. And if you do that in a structured, progressive, staged way, you will be able to revise all of the core course. There's one set of questions for international finance law and then another one for international financial regulation as well. This is optional. It's simply to assist if you wish to follow up on this, working with other people in the course. The course is summarized on the left-hand side. We're essentially looking at core contract structures and finance options, relevant terms and conditions, related legal issues. We need to understand the key markets and definitions, the core contracts, contract parties, examination and negotiation, special contracts, special issues. In doing all of this, I've summarized the key ideas on the top left. We're looking at the structure and documents used in all of these key international transactions. We're looking at the rights and duties of the parties concerned. We're considering this issue of party liability and how we can control and limit or exclude liability, and then remedy issues. As a young solicitor, attorney in this area, it is your responsibility to understand all of these key aspects of these large international financial contracts. In terms of historical background, we will look at the City of London, we will look at coffee houses, principally because many of the largest markets in the world all began in coffee houses in the city of London in the 16 and 1700s. We'll come back and look at that in further detail. We'll look at the main markets, we'll look at the euro dollar market specifically, the background to the Bretton Woods system, and then the more recent change in development in international finance markets. We're looking at five key sets of contracts: loans, bonds, project finance, securitization, and derivatives. And then within those, there's five key instruments: the euro loan, the euro bond, the euro note, euro commercial paper, and financial derivatives. We need to understand the key terms and conditions of all of the key finance agreements, but what we will find is this: almost all documents contain a series of core standard terms, and once we become familiar with this basic architecture, we can understand all financial documentation. Almost all contracts consist of the key financial terms, the conditions, and the default provisions. On the conditions, we have pre-loan conditions precedent, we have pre-advance representations and warranties, reps and W's, and then we have post-advance covenants. We then need to consider default issues as well as any other special issues such as materiality, evergreen clauses, which are repeating clauses, and cross-default provisions. If we understand all of these core clauses, we can understand most international finance documentation. Once we've dealt with the basic terms and conditions, we need to then consider syndication. Many of these transactions are so large that it's not that one bank cannot afford to lend, it's that the banks want to spread the risk dealing with these very large borrowers committing to very large sums of money. For example, if we have a $100 million facility, very often we may have between 2 and 10 banks providing up to, for example, $10 million each. The point is that it's not that one bank can't provide the funds, because the funds simply come from the interbank markets in any case. It's that the banks want to spread the risk. So we need to understand the nature of syndication and the relationship between the banks in these larger groups. We will then look at that with regard to the euro loan markets, and then we will consider the separate issues which arise with regards to a euro bond issue. We'll look at the role and function of the managers, bondholder meetings, bondholder trustees, negotiability, listing, depositories, and custody. In terms of special contracts, we will examine in further detail project finance. This is how we build and construct some of the largest infrastructure projects in the world. We'll look at asset-backed finance and securitization. This is how we transfer assets from the banking market to the capital markets, usually using a SPV or special purpose vehicle. The originating bank, which has, for example, a mortgage pool or a corporate lending pool or commercial real estate pool, it can transfer those to the capital markets by selling the pool to a special purpose vehicle, which is usually a shell company purchased off the shelf. So it's a shelf company, usually set up in an offshore financial centre to make the transaction tax neutral. We transfer the pool of assets to the SPV, and the SPV pays for that by issuing new short-term notes, possibly commercial paper, usually medium-term notes. So we transfer assets from the banking market, we cross into the capital market through securitization. We also need to consider structured finance, which is a form of secondary or re-securitization, whereby we take all of the new notes or commercial paper created in the capital markets and we can re-securitize those. We can then do that again and create a form of securitization squared, in practice using what we call CDOs, collateralized debt obligation, CDO squared, and then we can also do that again and create CDOs cubed. And we'll come back and look at all of the documentation and issues which arise in connection with all of these transactions. We'll also look at financial derivatives in detail and the standard documentation produced by the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, ISDA, which is the principal trade association in this market. The main trade association in the loan market is the Loan Market Association, LMA. In the capital market, it's the International Capital Markets Association, the ICMA. And in the derivatives area, it's the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, the ISDA. We will also mention other trade associations in other more specific sectors as well. We will not have time to deal with title finance, although you should become aware of it and have access to information so that if this comes up in your legal practice, you are familiar with all of the issues concerned. We also don't have time to deal with acquisition finance, secured finance, state finance or structured finance, although we will give you all of the relevant materials so that you can become familiar with all of this. In terms of special issues, we're going to come back to this issue of residual regulation in these markets. The markets essentially manage themselves, they run themselves, they regulate themselves. It's a self-regulatory system because no government or agency is large enough to regulate these markets because the markets are so large. But there is some residual regulation, and we'll look at the various issues which arise in this area. We also consider the issue of asset transfers. How do we transfer assets in the banking area, such as loans? There's a series of devices we can use: legal and equitable assignment, novation participation, risk participation. Reference is also made to devices such as trust or securitization. Those, strictly speaking, aren't a form of transfer, but they create an alternative substitute economic interest. So we'll look at the issue of transfers. We'll mention legal opinions. We will review financial remedies when we look at liability issues. We will mention public international law, although we won't have time to deal with that in any detail. All of the core issues which are raised in the course are introduced in this key document on the right-hand side. We overview history of banking and finance, the international financial system and the key crises which have arisen, the gold standard, collapse of the gold standard and the Bretton Woods system, petrodollars and debt crisis, Asian and Russian crises, the global financial crisis, and then more recent coronavirus crisis. And we'll refer to issues which arise with regards to the further impending climate crisis. We will look at the nature of financial markets in further detail: money markets, capital markets, euro dollar markets, the derivatives markets, currency markets, gold markets, commodity markets and insurance markets. I review all of these in this paper, although I will give you separate summary diagrams and slides for all of these, as well as two other, a historical chapter and a structural chapter, which will be chapters 1 and 2 in my book. We also then look at the markets again in terms of the assets and instruments dealt with in those markets. I thought this might be very useful. I've basically constructed a 25 to 28 point taxonomy whereby we can identify all of the specific instruments, products, devices traded in each of the markets referred to above. If we look at that again, we then can understand how the total structure and operation of this market comes together in practice. We will consider this in terms of coinage and currency, credit and payment instruments, public debt instruments, corporate securities, and risk and investment assets. We will explain, highlight the importance of international financial centres. We'll look at the nature of global investment banking and the key functions involved. In investment banking, we're principally concerned with equity and debt underwriting, market making and trading, asset management, advisory services, trade finance, foreign exchange and financial derivatives, prime brokerage services are essentially the range of functions carried out for hedge funds. And if there's time, we'll come back and look at hedge funds in further detail. I'll give you a separate draft chapter on hedge funds and on private equity. And we can also, if there's time, refer to sovereign wealth funds, which is an alternative means for governments to raise and manage investment. These three markets together, the hedge fund market, the private equity market, and the sovereign wealth fund market, we can consider in terms of AIM, alternative investment markets, which are markets designed to try to generate a higher return or yield. All financial markets are looking for yield or return. They have a search for yield SFY. The problem is in very low interest conditions, as we have had for the last 10 years, it's very difficult to generate returns. That is why a number of investors then move into these AIM alternative investment markets, and we will come back and look at that in further detail. I also explain the background and all of the key institutions involved in US investment banks and brokerage houses, British merchant banks, continental European universal banks and Japanese securities houses. All of the main international financial groups and institutions are referred to, with a short summary of the historical development of these markets over the last 100 years. We also look at international commercial banking and then international finance markets more generally. The rest of the course will then consider the euro loan market, the euro bond market, project finance, securitization and structured finance, and then financial derivatives. All of this is dealt with in the introductory document that you have. With everything else, all of this is expanded with all of the detail in the additional materials provided online. This is, as I mentioned at the beginning, a very exciting area. It's a very important area. This is how international finance markets and financial transactions operate in practice.